All right. Now turn to your neighbor and say, "Herm, sit down. Pastor's ready." Amen. Amen. I'm just playing. I love it when y'all love each other. Like, this is like for real. Like, I know that in any given day in your life, you don't necessarily have somebody who's always happy to see you, right? You might show up at work and there's not somebody happy to see you. You might show up at home and there's not somebody happy. But I want you to know, when you show up here, there's always going to be somebody happy to see you. Like, I am so thankful for the family that we have here with HFC, and I am so thankful that each and every one of you are a part of it. If you've been here for 100 years and this is your first time here, I just want you to know I am super glad that you are a part of the HFC family today. And I can't wait to see what God has for all of us in this. One of my favorite movies of all times is The Matrix, right? I know if you are not of a certain age, you probably don't even know the movie, except for maybe the most recent one that came out that doesn't even do the first one justice, but that's not even a different thing. Also, let me just put the disclaimer out there that I am not endorsing, like, if you haven't seen The Matrix, I, your pastor, am not telling you to go watch it, all right? It has a rating that it has for a reason, and I'm not encouraging any of that, but there is a Jesus point to the movie, which I'm trying to get to very quickly after my disclaimers. That is, that in the very beginning of the movie, there's this part where Neo, is Mr. Anderson. He's this computer programmer. He's really a hacker, really is what he is. And that's how he makes his money. And you see him like asleep on his keyboard, basically, right? And he wakes up to his screen, which if you saw is like old, like, dot matrix, like Apple IIe, when computers first came out, it looked anyway, it was like the little green blinky dot there and everything. And it said on the screen, "The Matrix has you." And he got real worried. All of a sudden, there was a knock on the door, and he tries to close this and shut his computer down, like, real fast, and nothing is doing anything. And then next up on the screen, all it says is, "Follow the white rabbit." And then the computer shuts down like it was unplugged, right? Knock at the door again. He goes to the door, and there's this guy there who basically is paying him to write this computer program to hack into something that is super illegal or whatever. And so he gives the guy the program, and the guy who's getting it is there with his girlfriend, and the girlfriend says to her boyfriend, like, "Hey, we should invite him to go out with us tonight, like, to the whatever the party, the rave, whatever it is, I don't even know." And then the guy's like, no, he didn't really want to go or anything like that. And she, like, the girlfriend kind of goes and she turns her back to Mr. Anderson here, this main character. Puts her arm around the boyfriend and says, "No, we should invite him." And on the back of her shoulder is a tattoo of a white rabbit, right? And immediately he says, "Okay, I'll go," right? Hold on to that for just a minute. Now go with me to the city of Haran. Here we meet a guy named Abram, right? And in Genesis chapter 12, we're kind of introduced to him, although not really. We know little to nothing about this guy, except for a few family members that have already been introduced in chapter 11. And then we come to Genesis chapter 12, and I want to read for you the first three verses of Genesis chapter 12. And it says, "The Lord said to Abram, 'Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you.'" Like, what an amazing vision for Abram and for his future, right? Like, what an amazing picture of what will come to pass through life. The problem is God didn't say anything about how it was going to happen, right? He just painted this picture of what will happen one day, of everybody being blessed through him, but he didn't say all the steps of how you are supposed to get there. Even with the Matrix and the guy who comes to be known as Neo, he knew, he had this instruction, this one phrase, the Matrix has you. Which was both this challenge and an invitation, right? It was this one statement that challenged everything that he understood to be what life was. And whoever was writing all of this never told him like what to do about it, never told him how to fix the Matrix or like what part he has, and it didn't answer any of his questions. All that it said was follow the white rabbit. Right? That was it. Church, I want you to know, I believe that God is showing us some things about who we are as a church as well. In the same way that God proclaimed this vision to Abram of how his family, his descendants would come to bless all of the nations and peoples of the world. In the same way that he has laid out this vision, not only for Abram, I believe he has laid out a vision for us as a church. I believe that while we don't always know all the steps of how to get there, he has given us some markers. He's given us some ways to, some things to shoot for, some things to go after. I believe that through his revelation and through his word, he has something specific for us as a church. Amen. And what we have to do is figure out how do we get from where we are to where he would have us to be. How do we HFC? Right? That's what this series is going to be over the next few weeks, is how do we HFC? How do we live as the church that God has created us to be? How do we accomplish the mission and vision that God has given us? Like, what does it look like in our lives? If I've been here one time or I've been here 1,000 times, how can we be a part of the vision that God has for us? So today we're gonna look at sort of the larger picture of how God is working through our church. And what I want to do, even now, I want to begin praying that God will begin to reveal to you your part in all of that. So let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your presence here with us. We thank you, God, that because you are here, miracles are possible. We thank you, God, that because you are here, you who are divine can do what appear to be impossible things. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would speak into our hearts and minds even right now. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus that my words would be your words, Father, that you would speak through me in a way that is beyond me, Father God, that you would help us all to hear from you today, Father, that you would help us to say yes to you and respond to you with the courage that only your Holy Spirit can provide. God, we just humbly submit ourselves before you now and ask, God, that you would have your way for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So then, how do we HFC? Well, we might even ask, like, what is it that we are pursuing, and why, and how? Like, why is it that we even have a direction as a church? Isn't God's church just all doing the same thing together anyway, right? And what I just really want you to recognize is that most people in the world today don't have hope. And most people don't have hope because they don't know truth. Amen. Most are living according to lies that have either been fed to them directly by the enemy himself or by those around them. And so they don't have hope because they don't have truth. And they don't have truth because they don't know Jesus. But God has given us hope. God has given us truth through his word, right? Like, God has given us Jesus. says, God has given us himself that we might not have to live hopeless anymore. We can live according to the truth of God's word, that we can be redeemed and forgiven and made whole. We can be healed. We can be changed. We don't have to live the same way we've always lived. We can live because of Jesus. And now we get to be the church that shows people hope. Because we can show people truth. Because we can show people Jesus. See, the reason why God has raised up the church for such a time as this is because he is using us as an instrument to take hope to a lost and dying world. There are people all around us that don't have that hope, don't have that truth, don't have Jesus himself. And we get to be the tool that God will speak that hope and truth and Jesus through. What an awesome opportunity we have that we don't just have to go around kicking the dirt about how bad the world is. We get to do something about it. Like, we get to say, we get to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone around us. And it doesn't have to look like a sermon at a pulpit. It could simply be a conversation as someone's crying on your shoulder. It could be an encouragement, an affirmation to a neighbor who appears to be down. It could be just being intentional about building a relationship with someone that you know is far from God. Like it doesn't have to look like a seminary education. It can just look like two people who just are working together to get where God would have them to be. Like, we have such an awesome opportunity. And I get it can be real easy to look at everything going on in the world today and be like, you got to be kidding me. I don't even know what's happening and I ain't trying to figure it out. Like, I just want you to know, like, as hard as things are, as bad as things are, as complicated as things are, like, it's really not that complicated. The reality is there are people who have Jesus and there are people who do not. And we, as the church of the living God, get to be able to share Jesus with others. Praise the Lord. We have the truth of Jesus. We have the hope that people need. And now we have an opportunity to decide what we're going to do with that, right? See, for us as a church, our vision is to multiply. See, I firmly believe that healthy things multiply, right? Healthy things multiply. And so for us, multiplication is not even necessarily a goal that we have, but rather it is a result. It's a fruit of living as a healthy church. As we live in healthy relationship, as we are discipling one another and doing all the things I'm going to talk about here in just a minute, as we're living as a healthy church, multiplication is going to happen. We're going to multiply groups, and we're going to multiply ministries, and we're going to multiply as a church, and we're going to be able to plant new churches, and those churches are going to be able to plant new churches, and as we continue healthy, we're going to continue to multiply. That is a natural result of what happens in a healthy organism, right? Amen. And our mission to accomplish that vision, to lead to that natural result, is that we simply want to be disciples who make disciples. Now, for some, it's like, well, what do you mean by disciple? A disciple is basically, as we have our definition based on Matthew 4:10, which basically just shows us that a disciple is someone who is following Jesus, has been changed by Jesus, and is on mission with Jesus, amen. Right? A disciple is someone who's following Jesus, who's been changed by Jesus, and who is on mission with Jesus. And so our mission then is to be disciples, to be people who are following Jesus, who've been changed by Jesus, who's on mission with Jesus. But we're not just disciples. We are disciples who are endeavoring to make disciples. In other words, we are pouring into others that they might also follow Jesus and be changed by Jesus and be on mission with Jesus. And can you imagine if every single one of us in this room right here were following Jesus and changed by Jesus and on mission with Jesus, imagine the people that we are all connected to that would also be following Jesus and changed by him and on mission with him. Imagine the kind of exponential growth that could happen if we're all on mission together, right? But before we can, like, actually live that out, we first have to become and learn how to be disciple makers, right? We got to figure out how to do this. Nobody's born knowing how to be a disciple maker, all right? No, it doesn't come natural to anybody, all right? I just need you to understand this. But a disciple maker is basically just those who relationally invest in someone else to intentionally lead them to being a disciple maker as well, right? I want to say that again, just so we understand that a disciple maker is someone who relationally invests in someone else in order to intentionally lead them to being a disciple maker as well. But we've got to learn how to do that, and there's a measure of faith that's required in that, and not everybody is necessarily at that point where they're ready to be disciple makers, and that's fine, because before you even get to that point, like, what we would love is just to help you find a place to serve, right? Like even if you're not at a point where you can lead others to being a disciple maker themselves, you can find a place to serve. You can take what God has given you, and you can give that to somebody else. And that can look like serving in a worship service somehow, whether it's, you know, up on a platform or with the tech team, at the coffee station, at the front door welcoming people. Like, it could look like connecting with a ministry that we have that doesn't even do anything on a Sunday morning, right? It could look like serving with one of our Faith Promise ministries. There's all kinds of ways that serving could show itself out, but all of that is just an expression of taking what God has set inside of you and sharing that with someone else. Amen. Before you can get to a point of serving, though, like, you've got to know what your purpose is. You've got to know who you are in Christ. For many of us, like, even after we come to know Jesus, we still have a lot of questions about Jesus, right? Like, what do you do with Noah in the flood? What do you do with the creation story? Like, what do you do with this, with all of the very difficult and challenging things that Jesus said that you might wonder to yourself, like, is that really how I'm supposed to live? Like, it's really, really important that you have a place where you can go to get some of these answers, right? And even before you know the questions or the answers, like, the most important thing that you need to know in your life is who Jesus Christ is. You need to know Jesus for yourself. If you don't have a relationship with him today, I want you to know you can be forgiven of your sins because of what Jesus has already done on the cross for you. The good news of Jesus is that our sin brought a price on our lives that we can never pay for us. And the good news is that what Jesus did on the cross covered that price in a way that we will never be able to do ourselves. He gave us grace and forgiveness and peace because of what he did on the cross. We get to receive that and to grow in a relationship with Jesus. But even before you come to know Jesus, we just want to get to know you more as a church, right? That could look like just hanging out in the lobby and getting to know some people. That could even look like being a part of a free coffee with Naomi. We do this thing the third Sunday of every month where we just invite you to come grab a cup of coffee. I mean, let me just share with you, the coffee's free anyway, all right? But in this particular time, you grab some coffee, and even if you don't like coffee, that's fine. You don't have to drink coffee, whatever. Just come hang out with Naomi. What we do there is it's a great opportunity for us to get to know a little bit more about you and for you to get to know a little bit more about the church. You don't have to know Jesus already. You don't have to be given anything at all. You don't have to be serving at all. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to have all of your life goals figured out. Like, all we want to do is get to know you and help you get to know us, right? And before that even, really what we got to do is just show up, right? We just got to be here. The big question is, like, we got all these different ways that we could kind of fit in to the church as a whole, right? All these things from being a disciple maker all the way down to just showing up. But if I'm brand new, like, if I'm brand new with Houston First, like, where do I fit in? How can I be part of the vision? How can I be part of the mission, even if I'm not already a disciple maker? What do I need to do? Well, see, I think this is where we actually need to go back to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. It says, "So Abram went And as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him, Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. And he took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. I just think it's really, really important that we recognize that God didn't need Abram to start by blessing all the peoples of the earth. That was the promise, right? The promise was, you and your descendants will bless all the nations, all the peoples of the earth. But God didn't need Abram to start by blessing all the people of the earth. All he needed Abram to do was to go, to move, to be obedient to the next step. That was it, right? For Neo in the Matrix, like, all he had to do was follow the white rabbit. Later on, in what is one of the most epic scenes you will ever see in a movie, he's sitting in this huge chair across from Morpheus, who is the goodest of all good guys. He's super awesome, and he can fight. It's really cool. And Morpheus is like offering him the red pill or the blue pill. If you've seen this movie, you know, like, you're feeling this right now in your gut, right? The red pill or the blue pill. Red pill, you see how far the rabbit hole goes, man. And that's a good thing, by the way. Or the blue pill, you wake up tomorrow like none of this ever happened and you just go back living your life the way you always did. And he had to make a choice. And it's the coolest, like, cinematic vision, because you see in Morpheus' sunglasses the blue pill in one hand and the red pill in the other. You're like, oh, man, this is, like, amazing. Like, how do I even do this? And he reaches, this is what's awesome, he reaches for the red pill, which means he gets to see, like, how deep this thing goes, right? And before he gets there, Morpheus stops him and says, wait, once you decide, there's no turning back. He takes that pill, and there's this smile that comes on Morpheus's face, because he knows something that Neo doesn't know, right? See, all he had to do, he didn't have to know everything about the Matrix. He couldn't know everything about the Matrix. He wasn't even in it yet. It would be like explaining a skyscraper to an ant, you know, in New York City. Like it's not even possible that could happen. But he had to take a step to be able to get to that point of understanding. And it was the red pill and the blue pill, and which one is he going to take? And here Abram kind of had sort of a similar thing here. God lays out this whole vision of your family is going to bless all kinds, like everybody, every nation, every person. But Abram didn't have to do the blessing. He didn't have to understand everything about it from square one. All he had to do was go. He had to move. He had to be obedient to the first step that God gave him, which was to go to this land. See, church, I just need you to know, I don't need you to go from being new with HFC to being a disciple maker next week. If this is your first time here this week, you just need to know I'm super glad you're here. Like, and I can't wait for you to get more and more involved, and I can't wait to find places for you to serve. I can't wait for you to know Jesus and the purpose that he has for your life. Like, I can't wait for all those things, right? But it doesn't need to happen next week necessarily, right? If God says so, praise the Lord. I can't wait to get you involved in all that too. But the real, all I need you to do is just go. I need you to move. I need you to be obedient to whatever your next step is, right? Your next step might not be go through a disciple maker training. Your next step might be show up again next week. Amen. Praise the Lord. Your next step might be find a place to serve. Your next step might be show up for free coffee with Naomi in a couple of weeks, right? Whatever your next step is, I don't need you to go from nothing to everything today. I just need you to take a step like Abram did. I don't need you to fulfill everything. I just need you to take a step toward him. And that step can show itself in a lot of different ways in a lot of different places, right? First of all, you can take steps even just here on a Sunday morning, right? So again, maybe your next step, if this is your first time here, maybe your next step is just deciding to come back, right? Realizing that these crazy people are kind of cool to hang out with sometimes, right? Maybe your next step is actually introducing yourself to people that you've never talked to before. Right? And just so you know, whether you're brand new at the church or you've been here for a long time, like there are so many new people that are getting connected with HFC. Like we need everybody to be intentional about just introducing themselves to each other. Like, if this is the second week you're here, I promise you there's somebody else that's been here less than you have, right? You are hearing it from me right now. Everybody is allowed to introduce themselves like you own the church. Like you're allowed to introduce yourself like this is your place, because guess what? It is. I don't need you. I don't need you to be here for a year before you feel like you're an insider. I don't need you to be here or go through a certain class or anything like that. Like, if you're here, you're here. And I believe God can use you for people, even for people who maybe have been here a long time, right? So maybe your next step of faith is just to be intentional to invite you or to introduce yourself to somebody. Maybe it's free coffee. Maybe it's connecting and serving somewhere. Whatever it is, like even on Sunday morning, there are places and steps that you can take just to take that next step. You can also take some next steps at home, right? So for you, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe you're new to following Jesus, like a next step you could take is just being intentional to read your Bible every day, amen. Right? Yes. Now I just need you to hear this, and hear this with all the love that I have in my heart, okay? But that verse of the day that you get through your social feed is not what I'm talking about, amen. Okay? Like, I love it. I love that you get that, right? I don't love that you have to scroll through 12 things that the devil sent you before you get to that one thing that you got from the Lord, but that's another conversation for another day. I'll try not to lose myself there. But what I'm talking about is actually reading stories about Jesus. And I don't care if you use your phone. Use your phone. It doesn't have to be an actual printed Bible or whatever. Although, truth be told, for the ADD that some of y'all have, you probably need to put your phone down and just get a printed Bible and just go old school, right? Just so that you can actually focus on what it is and not get 100 notifications in the half an hour that you might try to do this or whatever. But just try to spend some time in God's Word and read it. Read it as stories, right? Read it not just a verse at a time, but a story at a time. Like, and get to know who Jesus is, right? Books like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the first books of the New Testament. Like get into those books as much as possible so that you can come to know the heart of Jesus, right? Maybe that's the first step you need to take. Maybe it's taking a step of just having a time in your day where you're intentional to stop and pray to God. Where you're just able to share with him like how you're feeling. You're able to just worship him in the middle of your day without Pastor David having to lead you through that, right? And worship doesn't have to look like singing songs and dancing and clapping and all that kind of stuff. It can just look like submitting yourself to God through reading of his word and meditating on his word, praying to him and just telling him how awesome he is, right? It's not rocket surgery, people. Like having a relationship with God just starts with talking to him and praying with him, right? Maybe that's the next step that you need to take, right? Maybe that next step that you need to take at home is, like, with your family. Maybe it's a matter of you and your spouse, like being intentional to get together to pray together or read scripture together. Maybe it's finding ways for you to connect with your kids in such a way that you can have some spiritual conversations with them that actually hit them on their level. And maybe that's brand new for you. Maybe you've never done that before and it feels like, oh, like, Pastor, I don't know. It feels really cheesy. I don't think they would really, you know, be into that or anything like that. I get it. Like, there's a lot to work through there. We would love to walk alongside you in that. The point is, though, we have to take some steps. And we've got to take those steps at home, too. I just want to encourage you, whatever your step is, be intentional about it. Be intentional. What that means is, like don't just let the step happen to you. Like, you got to take the step. Abram didn't accidentally find himself in the land where God told him to go. He wasn't just out there and he got lost and the GPS just sent him the wrong way and he was like, oh, I guess here I am, right? No. He was intentional about where he was going. He didn't know how to bless all the peoples of the earth, but he knew how to get where he needed to be, and he took that step to get there. He was intentional about that. We've got to be intentional with our lives, with our steps that we're taking as well. Amen. See, the church, there's a lot of different ways you can fit in with the church. There's a lot of ways that you can grow and that we can walk alongside you to help you pursue everything that God has for you. But I don't need you to do everything. All I need you to do is the next thing. Maybe your next thing is just giving your life to Jesus. Maybe your next thing is acknowledging, you know what? Like, I've been trying to live for me too long now, and I need to just let go of my life and let Jesus live my life. I need forgiveness of my sins, and I need to be made whole. I need to be made brand new. Like, you can take that step today. Maybe the step that you need to take is to figure out what your purpose is in life. Maybe you've got some questions about God that you've been afraid to ask because you're afraid of what the church might say if you ask those questions. I just want you to know, like, you've landed in a church where we encourage you to ask all the questions that you ought to be afraid to ask. I want you to ask those questions because until you do, we can't find answers. We can't go to God with those questions and get godly answers until we start asking, right? Maybe you need to find a place to serve. Maybe you need to actually take the step of becoming a disciple maker yourself and saying, you know what? Like, I've been serving for a long time now, but I've never really invested in someone else to the point where they actually become a disciple maker too. Whatever it is, however it is, that you can take a next step in pursuing the mission and vision that God has for us as a church. Like, I want to encourage you to do that today. And it comes down to these couple of questions here. First of all, do you feel like you're actually part of the vision of HFC? Do you feel like you are a part of the vision of HFC? Do you feel like you are a part of the mission that we're going on together, right? I just want to encourage you again, even if this is the first time you've ever been here, you're invited on the mission with us. Like, you're invited to come along. And again, I don't need you to be all the way at the end. I just, in order for us to do this together, we just all have to be taking a step together. Like, would you be willing just to take a step? Well, do you really see yourself as a part of the mission and vision of the church? Or are you just showing up because other people are showing up? I promise you, once we all engage in this together, God is going to do so many incredible things through each and every one of us. It will absolutely blow your mind. But we've got to take the next step, which then leads us to, what step of faith do you need to take? What is, and maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, Pastor, I've taken a couple of steps here in the last, you know, month or two or whatever. I feel like I'm moving pretty quick in my faith in the Lord, and that's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm glad that God is doing what he's doing. All I'm saying is that even for Abram, there was always a next step. There was always a next step. We cannot afford to settle on the step where we are right now. We can celebrate what God has already done, but we cannot afford to stop where we are. We've got to keep moving. We've got to be intentional to continuously and relentlessly pursue God and his mission and vision for us as a church and for us individually as well. I'm inviting you to come and do that even today. Here in just a moment, I'm going to pray, and then Pastor David is going to come and close out service and everything. And when we dismiss, and when we all kind of head our separate ways, like, I want to invite you to make sure that you're not leaving here the next step that God has for you to pursue. There's going to be people who are up here that would love to pray with you and to help you begin now to take that next step. You don't have to do it alone. Let's do this together. Let's pray. God, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the vision and the mission that you have given us as a church. Thank you, Lord, that you have set some things in front of us that we don't know how to get to, that we don't know how to accomplish. And Lord, I just ask that even right now you would just help us all to just say yes to whatever the next step is that you've already laid on our hearts. Help us to say yes to you. Help us to take that next step. Lord, that we could walk faithfully with you in whatever way you would desire. We submit ourselves to you now, God. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.